You are tuned into the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. And we've got some special guests today still with us, Patricia Whitener and Marie Hegler from Clemson Extension. Woo-hoo. And I am Maddie from Soil and Water. And we're without Lynn today. She's on vacation, so I just wanted to give a shout out to my co-host, Lynn.
Hey, Lynn.
We miss you. We miss hearing your voice. All right. So we've been talking today about fall at home water conservation and really things you can do all year round. But emphasizing fall, because guess what? It's coming. It's happening.
Autumn.
I hate to say it. It's pumpkin spice season.
Oh, it is.
Now it is. When you start putting that stuff out in July. No, I'm just going to say everything has a time and a place. And July is not the time for pumpkin. September, October, November.
Well, we've covered a lot of cool things today. I've learned a lot. I learned a lot about canning from Marie. I was able to share some tips on cool season gardening and things that you can do to keep your feathered friends that are getting ready to migrate on board. We've talked a lot about water conservation tips and tricks that you can use at home.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, while we have you still here, rain barrels. It's not something we've really talked about. We talked some episodes ago about rain gardens, but now let's talk about rain barrels. So do you guys have rain barrels at your house?
I do. You know, they're becoming, they really gained a lot in popularity recently. And that's part of that whole conservation minded movement where folks in general are being more, thinking more pointedly about sustainable living. And so I do have a rain barrel, but you know what? I don't use it to water my vegetable garden.
Why not?
That's a good question. And I didn't know this when I first got the rain barrel and installed it. That was my goal, was that I was going to water everything in my yard, including the vegetables and the flower pots and just everything with that harvested, collected rainwater, thinking that I was going to be, a good water conservationist, just like Soil and Water teaches me. But what I found out was that, especially when you're looking at edible plants like herbs and vegetables, using rainwater is not really recommended. And if you think about it, when the rain falls on the roof and then goes down the downspout and is collected in that rain barrel, it is taking with it all of the bird poop, all of the bacteria, environmental issues.
Probably dirts and dusts and things
like
that.
Rainwater barrel with it. So I don't necessarily want to be putting that type of bacteria on the food that I'm going to be harvesting and canning and...
That's smart. So rain barrel water, just to water things that you're not going to eat.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I use it for my flower pots and I use it. I've even used it to wash the mud off my car tires.
Oh, yeah. Well, rain barrels are awesome. You know, instead of having to take water from the faucet when you need it, why not just collect the rain as it's falling anyway? And they're becoming a big deal down here in the South. Some places, though, out west where there's just not enough water to go around anyway, they're not allowed to use rain barrels because it's kind of seen as hoarding the water. Or, if everybody out there is collecting water, then it doesn't have a chance to make its way back into the river. So luckily here in Greenville and in the Southeast Appalachian region in general, we have lots of water. Not that we should take it for granted, but we can have rain barrels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you don't know what we're talking about, a rain barrel, it's really cool. It's like a big barrel that you attach to your downspout on your house, so it just collects falling rainwater. And you can get fancy with it. You can attach a spout to it, or a hose to it, or put it on wheels and take it around the yard. You can get pretty advanced with your rain barrels if you want to. But they're a really great way to collect water and store water so that you are reducing your demand for city water or municipal water.
Now, wait a second, though. If I'm collecting water in a big barrel on the side of my house, aren't I going to have more mosquitoes, or isn't that going
to
breed?
Not if you set it up the right way. It's supposed to be sealed, and it's supposed to be pretty tight.
That's right. So there's like exclusion devices on the top. So you put a lid on it, basically.
Yeah. And if you're using it, it'll stay fresh and it'll stay moving. If you're just going to have a rain barrel and not use it, then there's not really a point of having one. But they're pretty cool. And here in the South, anyway, we can use them almost year round. Places where it gets very cold in the winter, especially up north, you have a shorter season that you can use them. But we can use them for a while here. Although when it gets to the point where water starts freezing, that's when you need to start shutting down your rain barrel for the season. So let's talk about that. Ways to shut down your rain barrel.
Well, hopefully you have that spigot on the side, because that's how you're going to get access to that water you've collected. And so one of the ways you can winterize your rain barrels, just to turn that spigot on, and first off, drain it, right? Because if that water freezes inside the barrel, it could actually crack.
Drain it, turn it upside down if you can to completely empty it. The average rain barrel weighs almost 500 pounds when it's full. So it's to your advantage to drain it before you try to dump it over.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe sit it with the lid out for a few days, let the sun evaporate the rest of the water there, and then keep it drained. Then you want to remove your hoses and your rain spout diverter. Leave your faucets open. Hoses can split easily in cold weather, so those should be stored out of the elements until the temperatures remain consistently above freezing. And you can replace your rain spout diverter with a flexible extension to redirect downspout away from the house, to avoid potential damage to the foundation, too.
Keep your water away from
the foundation of the house seems like a good idea.
So just giving it a guide, giving it a place to flow out to. I have actually some shrubs that could definitely use the extra water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very easy to re-divert your water. And then you want to clear all your debris from the barrel and from the filter screen. So an empty barrel, it's a good opportunity to kind of clear out some of the muck and mold that maybe has grown if you're not really using it consistently. So a good time to just scrub it down and get it clean for next season. And then if you can store, if you've got a basement or a garage, it's ideal if you can store it inside in the winter. This protects it from damage, protects it from the elements. But if you do have to leave it outside, you should cover it with a tarp or turn it upside down to prevent water from collecting in there as it sits.
Awesome.
Yeah. So barrels, good.
Yeah, that's good advice, especially if you are thinking about using one or getting one. I really enjoy ours. I don't know how much water we've been able to conserve by collecting the rainwater, but it would be interesting to be able to sort of assess that. I know we certainly use it all summer long.
Yeah. I mean, every little bit counts.
It does.
Every
unfortunately,
drop counts.
When we had that dry spell, we weren't able to collect it. We were using it faster than we could actually collect it.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's there for.
Good. What other things do we need to do to get ready for the winter?
Ooh, buy lots of sweaters.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of an aside, but I am a big fan of thrifting and the idea of thrift stores in general, or yard sales, but repurposing your goods. So thinking about sweaters got me thinking about going to the thrift store to get all my winter sweaters. But thrifting is actually a really good conservation method, because you are taking the items that you don't want. I mean, think about the amount of energy, time, water, money that went into making these items. Well, when you're done with them, throwing them away is so very wasteful. So if you can repurpose them, especially clothes, I mean, you know, pretty much everything I'm wearing right now is made of cotton. So if I don't have to grow more cotton to buy new clothes, I am reducing my need and reducing the demand for new goods. I mean, there's plenty of clothes out there. Really nice clothes, really nice furniture, all sorts of stuff you can get from the thrift store. So it helps to reduce your impact by reducing the demand for these new materials to be made in the first place.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. And I actually last year discovered some really great sweater finds that were in fantastic condition and were absolutely new to me and very economical. When I went to the thrift store, I was actually going there looking for an ugly sweater to wear to, like, as a gag to a Christmas party. So I was looking for, you know, one of those really kind of old school sort of gaudy Christmas sweaters that I could wear to a ugly Christmas sweater party. And when I was there, I actually noted that there were some really nice finds there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really kind of surprised by that and excited.
Oh, yeah. I love thrift stores, and they're good for the environment. Also, aside, we're getting on a tangent here, but if you want to get your Christmas sweaters, now is the time, because come Christmas time, they all sell out because everybody needs them for said tacky Christmas sweater parties. So just some life advice from your friends at Greenville County here.
What about, I know one of the things that I learned from Soil and Water is how important it is to pick up after my dog when I'm out there walking. In the wintertime, is there any change in that? Is there any, I mean, it's cold and it seems like, can we be less vigilant
Oh, no. The bacteria we always need to be more vigilant, especially, well, in the winter, it's your pet waste is going to break down more slowly, too. There's not as much heat. So, you know, things just naturally break down more slowly in the winter. So especially if you leave your pile on the ground, it's going to sit there for longer than it would in the summer. Plus, you know, usually in the winter, we're really not getting as much rain as we would in the summer. So it's just going to kind of sit there and the waste is going to break down and the bacteria is going to enter its way into the soil and into the water. And if you guys want to get really in depth, we did a show a few weeks ago all about dog poop. So tune into that. But yeah, pet waste, it's bad all season long.
Good to know. Good to know.
We also talked about a couple weeks ago, how to take care of your yard waste. So you can tune into that episode too. But basically, we're starting to get, you know, leaves are starting to fall. So the best thing to do is compost all of your yard waste if you can. But otherwise, you want to make sure you're putting it out to the curb right before your yard waste pickup. So don't wait, you know, don't do it 2 weeks before your pickup because then it's just going to sit on the curb. It's going to get washed down the drain and into the rivers. So yard waste is it's a big concern for the waterways.
And that's a good point that you bring up, too. Just real quick, if you're not obligated to a homeowners association and you have the ability to leave your leaves, then that is actually really, really good for your trees and your grass. It's natural
leaf
mulch.
Cycling.
Absolutely.
Grass cycling. So, grass is like 80% water. So
when I told my husband he did not have to rake anymore, he was thrilled.
Yeah.
if you can, leave them around the trees. Leave the leaves. Absolutely.
Definitely. All right. Well, we've learned all about how to take care of our homes around the year and in particularly this fall and every fall. We are tuned into the Saturday Splash. Thanks to our guests, Marie Hegler and Patricia Whitener from Clemson Extension here in Greenville County. Don't forget, Greenville County Clemson Extension is a great resource for anything, everything. I'll just say that.
Thanks for having us. Tune in this
week, every week, next week, all the weeks to Saturday Splash. And check out our website, saturdaysplash.com. You're listening to 94.5 WGTK The Answer.